The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Rollison, Chief Executive Officer of Alterion. ATN is the ticker there. Simon, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. Very nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Of course, we've had Charles on talking about a new exciting project you've got going on here. But you've got some news out. New discovery of stratiform sediment-hosted copper. That's at the Tata project in Morocco. Now, we'll talk about that and also about operations in Rwanda. But before we do that, Simon, for people maybe not familiar, because there's been a name change and an exchange change as well, just take us through what you're all about at Alterion, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Justin. So Alterion listed on the LSE back in October of this year. Formerly, we were known as East Inco Mining and Exploration. We're an African-focused exploration development and hopefully soon to be a trading company. The core interest for us is the metals with the good long-term fundamentals and are linked to the drive towards a net zero carbon society and sustainable electrification. So basically the green metals, which are also referred to as critical and strategic metals. We hold 15 projects now in Morocco, covering about 760 square kilometres, with the primary focus on targeting copper, silver and base metals. We also have three partnerships down in Rwanda, slightly different. We're targeting tantalum, niobium and tin, and these are really more niche metals that perhaps a little bit well less understood by some investors. But, you know, tantalum is a highly corrosive resistant metal. It's used in all capacitors such as mobile phones. Niobium's in steel alloys and super alloys like jet engine components. Mm. But really going forwards, I think the exciting play for us is Morocco and the copper opportunity, which more investors will understand.
Yeah, yeah. And you said, you know, you recently acquired a portfolio of 15 copper, silver and base metal projects in Morocco. Now, Tata is one of these, and this is where the results are coming from so far, is it?
Yep, that's correct. You know, 15 is quite a lot of projects, but yeah, it's a very interesting portfolio. So what we're trying to do is really focus our sort of exploration efforts to three, maybe four projects. And at the moment, we've got results coming in, we've got samples going out, and Tata is one of those key projects that we want to focus on. And it's proving to be a very interesting target for us going forwards. It's, as the press release sort of mentions, you know, we've identified this copper hosted within the sediments. It's a big target. You know, we've got 25 kilometres of strike length still to explore, and I think it presents an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, copper, you know, we all know there's going to be huge copper demand going forward. Of course, it's always been in demand, but even more so now with electric vehicles and everything going to the Internet of Things and everything being powered by smart devices. Mm. So it's very hot. So what's next here? So you've got some results here, 2.05% copper reported, the dolomite float sample located adjacent to the contact. Now, what's next going forward? Is it more prospecting here?
Yeah, absolutely, because we've got this big strike length that we need to follow along. It's basically getting the field teams out there, traversing along, identifying more copper, and then going sort of perpendicular across the strike of the sediments as well, because, you know, what we've identified here is the opportunity in some sediments at the base of the unit, and that ties in with what we see in other occurrences in the district. But we've also identified and picked up copper higher up in the stratigraphy or higher up in the layering, which is a bit new to us, so we need to follow up on that. But it presents a greater target and a greater opportunity.
Yeah, and so you say you've got these 15 projects. How do you prioritise those? I mean, Tata, of course, is it the priority, or are you running concurrently with other projects as well?
No, we've got a couple of other ones that we consider to be our sort of our core at the moment, and that's just based on data review and looking at the information that's been returned so far from the projects. So we have a project called Agdes, which has also got very, very interesting copper and high-grade silver associated with it. Different to Tata, it's not a sediment-hosted occurrence. It's more of a volcanic hydrothermal vein occurrence. We're busy at the moment sort of evaluating all the data that's come out of the project so far. We have another project called Azra, which is just to the north of the Tata project, which we put out an announcement on a couple of weeks ago. And that, again, has some sedimentary hosted potential and then some sort of structurally controlled copper as well. You know, we just look at the projects, we look at the metals, we look at the sort of surrounding terrain and the opportunity, and we're just sort of zooming in and focusing on these projects. But, you know, on the other tenements or licenses, we're still going to do some low-level work just to build up that knowledge as we go.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose, you know, as far as location is concerned, I mean, it's quite telling that, 50K away is a copper mine, is that right?
That's right, the Tizert mine. You know, the whole region where these projects are mainly located, down in the Anti-Atlas, there's quite a lot of mining going on there, and historical mining as well. So like at the Agdez project, which I mentioned just now, there's an area there where there's some historical mining that's taken place. So we know that there's grade there, which is the key.
Yeah, yeah. And previously when Charles has been on, it's largely, of course, before the acquisition of the Morocco licenses. So we're talking about Rwanda. So what's happening in Rwanda at the moment?
Well, we're still getting very busy down there, which is the key. What we're looking at the moment is getting our trading license, which we have activated. And for that, we need to sort of secure the ITSCI membership. Now, ITSCI is the International Tin Supply Chain Initiative, and that's for allowing traceability of your product from the source, i.e. the mine, whether it be a private mine or an artisanal operation, all the way through to exporting to the refinery. So the refinery can produce the final product with the guarantee that he can sell it on to his end users with the confidence that it's come from a sort of sustainable and well-managed operation, so there's no child labor, it's not a conflict mineral zone, so on and so forth. So we're busy, we've applied for it, we're waiting for that to come through, and we're hopeful that before year end that comes in. And that allows us to kickstart the trading side of the business. So we can buy in from third parties, and hopefully in a couple of years, when we get the project down in the south up and running, our own supply. So what we can do is we can work with the cooperatives, we can work with small-scale miners, artisanal miners, and if they're ITSCI members, we can buy their product because it's tagged and we can verify source, and then we can sort of upgrade it at our own facility in Kigali, and then we can ship it out to the refinery. And I think that's a great business model that we want to sort of focus on in Rwanda, because it's completely different to Morocco. You know, the deposits that you will find in Rwanda will typically be quite small. They're small pegmatite hosted occurrences. But the advantage there is that you can bring them into production relatively quickly, you know, within a couple of years, and you don't need great big levels of capex requirement to get them up and running.
Yeah. And that would run nicely, wouldn't it, with the other project in Morocco. So when you start to generate some cash there, that could also serve that business, part of the business, couldn't it?
Exactly, because what we're pushing for at the moment is to get the trading set up and established so that we can generate the cash flow to allow us then to sort of self-fund some of our exploration.
Yeah, and that, I suppose that leads nicely on to the appointment of a CFO.
CFO and a COO, both very important appointments, and they've really strengthened the management team of the company. The CEO, Luke Rogers, he's a mining engineer and processing sort of individual. So he's worked in Rwanda for a number of years and sort of took a small operation into a profitable, successful mine. Mm-hmm. So he's very familiar with the territory. And then we've got Graham Duncan, our CFO, chartered accountant, who's going to look after the books for us.
Yeah. And take us through your background, Simon. Where have you come from to be, you know, at Alterian today?
I'm a geologist by training. So, you know, now in the company, we have the ability in-house of being able to do the geological side of things, the mining side, and the processing. My background is really mostly in Africa. Been doing it for about 30-odd years now. I've worked on small-scale mines, large-scale mines, underground, open pit, exploration. So I've had some interesting exposure.
Absolutely. Excellent stuff. Well, Simon, if someone's listening right now and likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons, if you could, why they should hit that follow button and add Alterian to their watch list, please.
Okay. I think it's key that the metals we're targeting have strong long-term fundamentals. You know, that's the key here, I think, because you're always going to be in demand, particularly with the copper. We're building a complete business, as I call it. It's almost like going from exploration through to mining, through to trading. And then we've strengthened the management team so that we have the skills on hand now that we can sort of deliver and execute on the plans that we're setting out.
Excellent stuff, Simon. Good to chat to you. Like I said, lots going on, so no doubt we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.